Good morning. It's 8 a.m. You're listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. A new state committee tasked with studying wildfire issues has wrapped up its work. The bipartisan group of lawmakers is recommending a tax credit to encourage people to mitigate fire risks and a proposal to give individual counties more authority to cut down hazardous trees. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The Wildfire Matters Review Committee spent several months examining all aspects related to wildfires. One proposed bill would pay death benefits to the families of seasonal firefighters who die in a Colorado fire. Republican Senator Ellen Roberts of Durango says seasonal firefighters have few benefits and low pay.
So many of our fire districts rely on volunteer firefighters. I think it can make the difference to somebody to say, your family will be compensated. Hopefully this never happens, but you need little incentives to validate why you're doing something.
Other measures include a $2,500 tax credit to help private landowners pay for fire mitigation. And Democratic Representative Claire Levy of Boulder proposed a measure to give counties more authority to pass ordinances requiring homeowners to remove trees.
The idea for this bill came from the testimony of these Park County residents who were talking about property owners who are absentee property owners who don't take care of their land and who create a substantial risk of wildfire on their neighbor's land.
But Levy says while she's happy with the committee's work, she also believes lawmakers missed the mark.
We maybe didn't focus enough on what our highest priorities should be.
Levy says her biggest concern is population growth in the wildland-urban interface, or WUI.
Burning forests isn't a problem for anybody or anything unless you have people and families and property and memories there. We're just going to keep compounding the problem by seeing more and more people live in these high-hazard areas.
Republican Senator Ellen Roberts says the committee tackled some meaty issues.
The meaningfulness is what we fund. Because you can create all these things, but if you don't commit the resources behind it, then it's just new laws on the books without any real impact.
The discussion over funding won't happen until later this year when lawmakers deal with the state's budget before the start of the January legislative session. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Capitol coverage is funded by the Gill Foundation's Gay and Lesbian Fund for Colorado, a proud supporter of local organizations like the Colorado Department of Education and its programs to prepare and inspire the next generation of science, technology, engineering, and math teachers.
And at the national level, Colorado U.S. Representative Scott Tipton and U.S. Senator Mark Udall have come together over proposed legislation that would help local authorities take preemptive action on wildfires. As the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports, the proposed Wildlife Mitigation Act of 2013 would allow the Federal Emergency Management Agency to work with local agencies on fire mitigation projects. Colorado Democrat Jared Polis co-sponsored that bill with Tipton. If approved, it would give FEMA the authorization to treat wildfires like it does other natural disasters. Under the act, states could apply to use an extra 15% of FEMA's funds for fire suppression or preventing fires. Udall said the legislation would, quote, put Colorado communities and public lands managers on the offensive against wildfires. Tipton's office has said it hopes putting emphasis on prevention would help reduce the cost of fighting fires and cleaning up afterward. According to the Daily Sentinel, U.S. Senator Michael Bennett, also of Colorado, is set to lead a Senate subcommittee hearing on lowering the risks and severity of fires. Arborists with the State Forest Service have completed the first phase of a project aimed at creating an inventory of urban and community forests across the state. As the Denver Post reports, the project is a random sampling of trees in Colorado communities, and it's meant to fill in the gaps of existing tree inventory data. Researchers hope the new data will help foresters across the state deal with problems like emerald ash borer, a species of invasive insects that's already killed or weakened millions of ash trees across the country. The data for the first phase of the project was collected along Interstate 76 and 70 and U.S. 50 corridors in the eastern part of the state. The Forest Service kicked off part of the project's second phase this month in Grand Junction, where they recorded 40 plots of trees. That second phase will continue along the Front Range in the summer of next year. With a population of just more than 2,000, Telluride campaigns rarely draw in large sums of money, but this election season, A proposed sugar-sweetened beverage tax has ramped up contributions to the tune of $125,000. Arguments for and against the tax have the town talking. KOTO's Caitlin Coutel has more.
Ballot Measure 2A is a contentious one, and it's apparent when walking down Telluride's Main Street. Signs for both sides of the issue are posted in storefronts, and the proposed tax is the topic of many conversations, curbside and in coffee shops. Main Street is also home to Kick the Can Telluride's headquarters. Kick the Can is a committee working to promote the proposed 1 cent per ounce excise tax on sugary beverages. The money, up to an estimated $400,000 in revenue, would fund local kids' physical activity programs, from karate classes to ski PE to greenhouse operations. These programs are currently taking place with federal grant money, but when the funds run out next year, Kick the Can campaigner Elisa Marie Overall says so will the programs.
I'm just one advocate in one small town, and the reason that we have taken this up was not to make a statement around the nation, but rather to make a statement amongst ourselves about the type of community we want to live in.
Kick the Can has reported $50,000 in campaign contributions. In August, the Houston-based Action Now initiative donated the money. Action Now is run by Telluride area second homeowners John and Laura Arnold.
People have come out of the woodwork from all around the nation and offered their support and volunteered their time to helping this sort of grassroots initiative. And I think the reason is that others see the potential of this being the first domino and a long-awaited domino.
The purpose of the tax is twofold. While it would fund after-school physical education programs, Overall also hopes it will curb consumption of sugary drinks and help reverse the obesity epidemic. But there are people in Telluride who aren't so sweet on the sugary beverage tax. Jerry Green is one such opponent. He owns a bakery in town, and he's the unofficial face of the No on 2A campaign. He recognizes the dangers of soda.
But this proposal, like all too many in Telluride, seem to have came out of nowhere, and it's a impossible to enforce and implement tax.
The No on 2A campaign also says, with an 8.4% sales tax, Telluridians are taxed enough.
It will affect business in town. People, when given the opportunity, tourists and locals alike, spend their money in Montrose or elsewhere.
Since mid-October, the No on 2A issue committee has reported two major contributions. According to the town clerk, they've received $20,000 from the Colorado Beverage Association and $55,000 from the Washington, D.C.-based American Beverage Association.
Of course, we're opposed to it. We oppose any policy that singles out our products, as I think any business would.
This is Charlie Sheffield from the Colorado Beverage Association. He's been in and out of Telluride for the last 2 months to coordinate efforts on behalf of No on 2A. But for the most part, he leaves it up to the locals to debate the sugary beverage tax.
We deal mostly with statewide advocacy. Again, I'm here basically to coordinate efforts on the ground between business owners who are concerned and may not have the resources, as Jerry said, to get together themselves.
Some who oppose the sugary beverage tax say it's up to the consumer to decide what they should or shouldn't drink, not the government. Telluride High School senior Corey Page says he wouldn't vote for a tax like this on a national level, yet he thinks it's the right move for Telluride.
I've been pro this tax only because it's in our local community.
Page will turn 18 a few days after the election, and although he can't vote, that won't stop him from advocating for the tax, because for him, it's about getting the funds to keep physical education programs alive.
The truth of the matter is, you know, once the money's gone, there's a lot of things that go away, too. You know, we can't pay the people who come in and teach the kids how to Nordic ski.
Telluride isn't the only town at the center of the sugary drink tax debate. San Francisco made headlines this month when the mayor proposed a 2 cent per ounce tax on sugary beverages. And neighboring city, Richmond, California, attempted to pass a sugar-sweetened beverage tax, but failed. In fact, attempts to pass such a tax have all fallen short. Will it gain enough traction in Telluride? Voters will have their answer November 5th. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Caitlin Cattell.
And there's only 2 days left to get mail-in ballots in. After today, ballots are due by Tuesday, November 7th at 7 p.m. The Office of Colorado Secretary of State is encouraging voters who are concerned about whether their ballot will make it through the mail in time to visit a drop-off location. Info on those locations is available at govotecolorado.com. Early voting sites across the state are set to be open for normal business hours over the weekend, but times will vary by county. Polling sites have to remain open until 7 on Election Day, and residents voting in person do have to prove their identity with some form of state-approved driver's license or ID card, though other documents like work ID cards with photos, pilot's licenses, paychecks, or birth certificates will be accepted. Governor John Hickenlooper has ordered that all state flags today at public buildings be flown at half-mast in honor of Scott Carpenter, the second American to orbit the Earth. Carpenter died at the age of 88 on October 10th. His funeral will be held tomorrow in Boulder. According to the Denver Post, Hickenlooper said Carpenter was, quote, a true Westerner. And for those of you traveling or planning to travel to the Aspen area, Independence Pass is currently closed, 6 days short of its scheduled close date on November 7th. Department of Transportation officials will be deciding today whether to reopen the pass or to leave it closed for the season. As we head into the winter season, remember you can always find information on road conditions throughout the state at cotrip.org. You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. Stay tuned for the KVNF Sports Report from Eric Gould. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.
Greetings. This is Eric Gould with your KVNF Regional Sports Report for Friday, November 1st. Congratulations to the Hotchkiss Girls Cross Country Team, who for the second year in a row are state champions. The Bulldogs won the 2A state title last Saturday in Colorado Springs after three runners finished in the top 10. Senior Natalie Anderson led the way for Hotchkiss with her second place finish. Senior Jennifer Sellis capped her outstanding high school career with a fourth place finish overall, and sophomore May Anderson got on the podium after her eighth place performance. Hotchkiss beat runner-up Lions by 20 points to retain the state title. Individually, Paonia's Taylor Polson finished fifth overall, and on the boys' side, Hotchkiss junior Andrew Tiedemann finished ninth. In volleyball playoff action, Paonia remained undefeated and claimed the 2A Region 5 title last Saturday with wins over West Grand, Hotchkiss, and Meeker. Senior Carson Pfeiffer finished the three matches with 39 kills and 38 digs, while teammate Taylor Karsten added 9 aces and 104 assists in the three wins. The Eagles will host the Region C Championship tomorrow at Paonia High School. If the Eagles get victories against West Grand and Nucla, Paonia will advance to the state championships in Denver on November 8th and 9th. In football action this weekend, the 3A and 4A teams in the region have one more game left before playoffs begin. Montrose, ranked number 1 in 4A by a Denver Post poll, played last night at Grand Junction Central. 3A Delta wraps up its regular season schedule tonight at home against Steamboat Springs. In the state's top classification, 5A, Grand Junction opens playoff action tonight against Westminster at Stalker Stadium. The Tigers earned the number 10 seed in the 32-team playoff bracket and will kick off against the 23rd-seeded Wolves at 7 p.m. Finally, in 1A action, Paonia won the Western Slope Conference and finished 8-1 in the regular season after last Friday's 40-0 victory over Cedar Edge. Paonia's defense hasn't been scored on in over 8 quarters, and the Eagles' offense scored 61 points in its final 2 games to capture the conference title. The Eagles earned the number 4 seed in the 16-team playoff bracket and hosts Colorado Springs Christian School on Saturday at 3 p.m. The game at Paonia Town Park is preceded by a tailgate party at 1, featuring food and festivities celebrating the Eagles' outstanding season. A second playoff game in the North Fork Valley takes place on Saturday at 1 o'clock at Hotchkiss High School, where the Bulldogs will entertain Burlington. Hotchkiss finished the season at 7-2 and earned second place in the conference. Cedar Edge will defend its state title on the road. The number 12 Bruins travel to the San Luis Valley to play the 5th-seeded Monta Vista Pirates at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And that concludes your regional sportscast for Friday. Please stay tuned to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio for more sports coverage next week. This is Eric Gould saying good luck to all the teams in our listening area, and thanks so much for listening.